How you doing, Chief?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
All right, good.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pleasure. In fact, I'm glad we've increased the number of appearances here with you because there's so much stuff changing.
Absolutely.
And part of the boots on the ground campaign I have, which is you and the others that come in and be part of the program, is that we can talk to people about what is happening right here in the backyard.
Sure.
And you own a big piece of that yard. Couple of quick questions for you.
Right.
I'm hearing there is some concern. People feel that now that we have been in lockdown, that there is an increase or an attraction of the bad guys coming up out of the valley. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I mean, as we pull together the statistics and everything else, we haven't really seen the property type crimes going up. But I tell you, you know, it's a lot of the crimes in the home, unfortunately, or issues going on in homes. And we've seen suicides increase.
By the way, this is Suicide Prevention Month, by the way.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, it's, I think it's something that has to be talked about. You know, I think, you know, COVID and everything else going on, you know, all things are important and, you know, all things have affected families and businesses and the like. But, you know, in the same time frame, I think some statistics came out not too long ago, talked about since March 1, you know, 39 people have died of COVID or COVID-related issues and tragedy. It's a tragic, any family has to deal with that. But at the same time, 44 people have died of suicide. And,
you know,
you start talking about those types of things. You know, we've seen, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to the Auburn Journal, my SRO, who has stayed in contact with the schools even during all this COVID issue going on. You know, it was brought to his attention of a Facebook, Instagram post or page out there that, you know, I've heard this term throwing shade on people. I mean, you have Facebooks and Instagrams. They're a great tools. They're a great way to connect with people. We certainly use it to push out both.
Can you explain what that means?
You know, the throwing shade piece is saying things about people, negative things, whether they're true or not.
Okay, so throwing, that's like rumor mills.
Exactly. I mean, and being able to say it and put it on a Facebook or Instagram page anonymously and, you know, for really the fear of nobody finding out or accountability.
That's the kind of crap we used to deal with in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. But it wasn't on Facebook.
It's not on Facebook.
It wasn't screenshotted on your phone and used forever. And, you know, you have kids that are, you know, again, kids are struggling. We talk about the stressors on the kids and the families. Technology with phones right at their fingertips, and now you have things like this going on. And you know, suicide, I mean, you've got to be able, people have to be able to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have to be able to reach out.
And you know, I had a conversation with one of the chaplaincy people yesterday, and we had a long chat about this very subject, and she showed me these statistics, the ones you're talking about, and the age groups, which it's spread. I mean, it's not any one age group, basically, that is dominating this. It's all over. And I've always been totally baffled by suicide. And I've had a couple of, not in my family, but I've had some close friends whose husband just did it, you know. And it's such a shock because it was like you had coffee with him yesterday and he seemed perfectly normal.
Sure.
And then you get that phone call and you go, what are you talking about? And that's what I have a hard time with. Most of us don't even think about it because we're the other type. We're the survivor type.
Sure.
We wake up every morning glad to be alive and away we go. How does it go from that to that? Well, we had that chat.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to have that on the air partly tomorrow.
Oh, good. But that's the thing. And law enforcement is no different. Public safety is no different. You know, you got firefighters fighting fires. I mean, they've talked about the PTSD that, you know, some will end up with as a result of seeing what they're seeing. Officers, you know, police officers, sheriff's deputies, highway patrol officers are all the same. You know, it's the same thing. It's what you see day in and day out. You know, that will have some of these long-term effects on some of these folks. And it's sad.
Now, do you have services like the chaplaincy that's available to you and your officers?
We do. We have a tremendously great relationship with our Placer County Law Enforcement Chaplaincy Program. One of the chaplains came by yesterday just to check in, see how things are doing. They're a great resource for us. They're great people. They care.
And they are. And I've met two of them. Well, actually three. Cindy down in Sacramento, I've mm-hmm. known quite a number of years. But, yeah, they're special people.
They are.
They fall into a category maybe even a little higher than in my respect meter with the ministers. Again, they're people who deal with life in a totally different way of what you and I deal with, but well, you deal with it. I don't know how you guys do it, frankly. You know, radio people are all optimists. By nature, we love to talk, we love to visit, and to us, some of the stuff you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, we have to do by basically tell that story, but we're not affected by it like you are.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing is, well, it's we're people too, right? I mean, it's just, you just learn how to deal with it.
Right.
I can tell you the profession of law enforcement, you don't talk about it anymore and you just keep it bottled up. You know, that culture has come and gone. So we do make sure our officers have resources they need to be able to talk about some of the issues. Agencies across this country do, you know, kind of those critical incident debriefs so they can talk about it. The officers can talk about it. And a lot of times the executive, the chiefs and commanders aren't in that room. So the officers can, you know, talk to the chaplaincy about it, how they felt of the situation. And, you know, again, what they find is the more you talk about it, right, the more you get that out, more things you get answered, the less it affects you in long term. And, you know, that's really what it comes down to. And well-being, health, you know, it's funny. We all stay in shape as much as we can, right, run and work out.
Yep. Well, you do.
But we don't always know what to eat either, right? At Graveyard. That's why we love donuts so much.
Well, I'm a golfer. And, of course, and I love to say this because I stole it from Mark Twain. He said that golfing is just an organized walk in the woods. That's exactly what I do.
Right.
I play golf one day a week if I can. And it's, to me, a wonderful walk. Sometimes it's 9 holes, which is not that many yards, but it's at least some walking.
Yeah.
And I do ride in the cart, so I cheat. I'm only walking half the time. But the way I play golf, sometimes that's a long walk.
That's exactly how I play golf. Usually walking from one side of the fairway to the other.
That's
so
right.
Someone's got to drive the cart and come pick me up. But yeah, there's lots going on at the police department. You know, we've talked before about a lot of those different parts of the department that really we don't talk about much. Obviously, you know, the police officer side of it is the ones that people see the most. But we have other units within the department, namely code enforcement. You know, we have one code enforcement officer, and you know, she works very closely with city staff, the building officials, to address some of these major building problems we have.
So the code enforcement officer reports to you.
They do, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought they were part of the county government.
Yeah, so here in the city, we have one code enforcement officer for the city. So again,
give me an example of a violation of a code.
Well, some of the ones we talk about, there was one that was on a city council, a hearing not too long ago about a building put up on three different plots, right? But a lot of that, what they
and
go after.
No permit?
No permit and all
or
that stuff.
Ignorance of the permit.
Yeah. You know, but here, and every city is different, right? Every city is unique in what the focus are or what the priorities become. But here we are in fire season. You know, the code enforcement spends all the rest of the year trying to make sure people are in compliance with overgrown weeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the weeds get too high or they become dead, you know, we found with some of those things is code enforcement's the perfect fit to address those issues with the community.
Now, what power does the code enforcement officer have? Can they write a ticket?
They can. They can issue
a
fee off of our city municipal codes.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where if you're out of compliance with those things or your weeds are too high. But typically what happens is we send people a warning, kind of just a notice, say, hey, look, your weeds are too long. You need to
fix this problem or get fined.
Right. Yeah. So then if it doesn't get fixed, then we start moving the process forward. You know, ultimately, code enforcement officers can write what we call abatement warrants. So we get a warrant to go in there if we're not getting compliance from people and we know it's serious and we need to fix it. We can write an abatement warrant to go get that, essentially fix it ourselves.
Right.
and then deal with that property owner.
So now the fire department gets involved in this, right? I mean, if there has to be a cleaning up of a field or something, the fire department does that, or they get it done.
For sure, yes. So it's kind of
it's
a team effort.
So you work with fire on this,
absolutely.
Too.
I mean, that's what we talk about. It's, you know, we start talking about things like, you know, public safety here. These are, we're talking about the use of the fire department, the use of the police department, and also our city staff. Mm-hmm. You know, we have public works that helps out. We have our code enforcement team that works out. We have our building officials. So it is a this triad of teamwork coming from City Hall and the police department and the fire department to address these issues.
Wow,
you know?
That's amazing. I'm glad to know that. It's a piece of information I didn't have. I know about code enforcement, but sure. I didn't realize how it was networked into the process.
Eric,
makes sense that it reports to you.
Yeah, and they're a huge, they're a great resource for this community. They're a great tool to deal with some of those problems. And some of this, like we talked about, they're a better fit for the solution than fire or the police department. Hmm. So they're a unique resource for us.
Now, during this pandemic where the restaurants were told they could not serve inside, basically code enforcement would have been the enforcer if there had been a push on that.
Typically.
And in this case, the decisions were made that, you know, unless it's absolutely being done incorrectly, then basically you were going to information only, let them know so that you can kind of keep it under control. But it wasn't a shutdown or a warrant, was it?
Nope. And, you know, I mean, again, great community, very supportive community.
Well, there's some constitutional issues here yet.
There are. But it's a community that was, you know, kind of, you know, together navigated those troubling waters. I mean, it's been quite the year, and we're not done.
Yeah, we're not done.
So it's those types of things. But yep, they're a great tool for us. But it's some of those things that are going on at this, you know, the police department, some of those people behind the scenes that people don't really see. But it's one of those programs too that not everybody understands what they do and the role that they play.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of folks didn't know how involved you guys are. So in this case of a guy building a building that's technically out of code. And now, but it's built. So now what do? You going to make them tear it down?
Well, that's the thing. And the council gave him some time. They acknowledged the violation. They gave him some time to see if he can work out some solutions.
Some solution.
Whatever those solutions are, those are outside of my wheelhouse.
I was going to say, that's where the marketing department has to be
right, exactly.
Well, that's kind of fun. That's good.
But we have buildings that, you know, again, people put in the electricity that's not permitted. You know, a big concern that I speak for the fire chief, but certainly myself, you know, we start talking about fire risk. It's those types of things that will have a significant impact on the city is the businesses and the buildings inside the city that aren't
how they're dealt with,
that aren't wired properly, that are outside permits, you know, that don't have safe structures and those types of things. That is a significant threat to our community just as much as the fires outside.
Well, yeah, if we get an old town, to give you an example, if an old town, for instance, had for some, any reason, God forbid, a major fire in one of those buildings, it could set off a massive fire that could destroy the town.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're dealing with. So it's not something that you treat lightly, nor can you.
No, exactly. And that's why we talk about this triad of, you know, city employees, you know, the teamwork between the three groups. That's how we're addressing some of these problems.
Back to my other question was, is there increased crime here from out-of-towners? I've seen one issue that seems to be, or maybe now it's just getting more publicity or focus, and that is the people who come up here with the methamphetamines and the tools to sell it and deal with it, people with felon background carrying guns, loaded, as a matter of fact, even a guy on a motorcycle. Recently.
Right.
And so you've got that. Now, I haven't seen that kind of action for a while, or we just didn't have access to that stuff. So is it more of it, or are you just getting more publicity?
Yeah, that's a great question. Again, I mean, I check on our stats regularly, you know, and I don't see those types of things. I see the same, I think some of the same things you're talking about, kind of the information being pushed out, social media and our traditional media, just kind of playing that information up, right, and showing. But I think it's a way to highlight what's the great work that the cops and deputies are doing.
And that's part of our job, but we don't always have access to it. And calling all of you like I used to.
Sure.
I mean, I used to spend from 4:30 in the morning until 6 just talking to all the dispatchers. Well, the dispatchers don't need me calling them. They're right. busy. I mean, they're busy. And I listen to it on the system, so I'm always hearing the stuff.
Yeah.
But basically, for me to call and ask them to give me details on this stuff, I could just see their eyes rolling like, oh, no, here's Barry again. So we don't do it that way.
Right.
But I am seeing a much larger traffic on Facebook and on Twitter now. For instance, the sheriff's office has a broadcaster as the so-called outreach person. And so every little item is popping up on the media. So we're watching that now. So you're right. Maybe it's just that all of a sudden the data is coming out quicker.
Yeah, I think some of the times if we're able to showcase and highlight the good work that the men and women are doing, we do it in a heartbeat. Sometimes it's fortunate if you can have someone who can focus just on those types of things. But, you know, it's important that we highlight what's going on out there. Because, again, I think we've spent a lot of time in law enforcement kind of shielding our communities from what the realities are, what it is we're dealing with, and
that's not good.
What role we play, yeah. And it's not, because you know, it's kind of everybody sitting back. Well, it's this feeling, right? It's like either you want more officers or you want less officers. Why? You know what is going on? And you know, it's some of those things that I think the education of our community is one of the top things we got to be doing.
One thing I sense about most of the communities in the foothills. We don't understand what's going on in some of these cities like Minneapolis or Portland. We just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to us. Why would anybody burn down their own town because they're unhappy with a lawsuit that didn't go their way? That makes no sense to me. What do you guys think about all that stuff that's going on? Because you don't have to deal with it here in Auburn, I don't think, do you?
No, thankfully we don't, not here in Auburn. I'm very appreciative of that and appreciative of the community that we have. You know, I certainly can't speak for, you know, those other cities, you know, but I can see, and just like everybody else, you know, talks about is calling for the defunding of the police departments and law enforcement in general. But if you look already, you know, there's a community, there's parts of the communities that are there that's not what they want. You know, they want more officers, right?
Right.
They want they agree they want better trained.
Right.
They also want officers that maybe aren't working, you know, 12-hour shifts back to back to back, so they're well rested, healthy, can make good decisions, not less. You know, you already have Minneapolis City Council, right? We read it in the news.
Yeah.
At, you know, questioning the police chief on why crime is going up and why they see less police officers, and you know, I think the response was, yeah. I've had double digits retire and leave, and.
Sure.
I can't bring them back that
well,
fast.
The thing that we news people get is when we read these stupid statements these people make, it's like, how could we elect somebody this stupid who doesn't get the very job they've been in for 10 years? How does that happen? So now I'll ask you the last question because I'm running out of time here. Have you ever put yourself in that position and say, if I were police chief of Portland, and I had to deal with this political and this unrest and this, what I'm considering partly a professional process, being funded by people I don't even know even who they are or where they are, would I resign and go find an Auburn somewhere? Or would I stick it out and hopefully it gets better?
Well, you know, again, every community is different, every person is different, but I look at myself and think to myself, I got in this job for a reason. I got this job to protect people, protect not only the community, but also the men and women of the police department, do my job as the chief executive and make sure that they have the tools and the equipment to do the job the best they can.
And that includes training. And it costs money.
Absolutely. But also, you know, the relationship with as many community members as we can. And no doubt there's places that are, you know, faced with, you know, those difficult relationships. And I know police chiefs across this country are doing the best they can to really bridge those gaps and to have the communication with all parts of their communities, you know, not just the ones that will blindly support us, but also the ones that don't necessarily support us, you know, and trying to understand how we can do the job better, you know, our roles in our communities and what we can do as law enforcement to, you know, to support those other parts of our communities. You know, it is a lot of the outreaches. It's a lot of getting to know people and to have an understanding of both sides of what's going on.
I like that word outreach because I'm not sure we can define it easily.
No.
Outreach, in my opinion, is like you. you're right now in an outreach condition when you're here on the radio.
Absolutely.
And a lot of your offices are pretty good at that too, but I only see them basically at the scene of a crime, and I'm the news guy, and we have to talk to each other. And they know how to do that. So you've got that under control.
Sure.
You know, and they have no problem saying, Barry, don't cross this line. Okay. I mean, that's respect. And
it
works. And so the I really do understand all that part. Chief, always a pleasure. I want to spend one real quick minute with you before we go.
Sure.
You're getting ready to release some plans. You're getting into some programs, as you call them. And they're outreach, basically, some of the strong outreach stuff. And we're going to play a role in that. My management has said that we're going to pick on you. So you're in the target, partner.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, we've always had our philosophy of being of service to the community. And we are required by law to have a certain amount of public announcements that promote things. Well, we all do that. We have a formula we have to follow. And we have decided internally we want to get much more localized with all of our public announcements. We have lots of them. I mean, the Marine Corps comes in and gets free stuff from us because
sure.
we have to do that. But we really are looking to do a lot more where it's you and it's the town. It's also this kind of business that's going on that we want to be in the driver's seat of helping promote.
Oh, we appreciate that.
So, well, we're going to make you a star, partner. That's a joke.
Careful what we ask for.
That's a joke. No, what we want to do is just, our public service is to help you get the message out of what you're doing to hopefully get the support you need to make it work. So,
well, I appreciate the support I always had, Barry, from you yourself and from K-High. I mean, great support.
Well, we're starting the process today. You and I are going to have coffee, which, by the way, I buy. and we're going to talk about how we do this. So, in other words, you get a chance to drive it the way you want, and then I'll try to take it and move it up to the level of what we want. Hopefully, we have a really successful program. And if we do, I'm going to take that model, and I'm going to use it elsewhere in the city and in the county.
Perfect. That sounds like a great plan.
Yeah, fun. Well, thanks for coming by. I always appreciate your time, and I know you're busy, so I'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Chief. Take care.
Bye.